This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey, history lovers, we are back. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm, which is home to over 50 different podcasts for your entertainment pleasure. I'm Tony Hubert. My co-host is always Armand Kachigian, and our producer is Brian Kroc. Today, we bring you the events of the 29th of July throughout the annals of time.
Uh-huh.
How are you today, Armand? How does the 29th?
The annals of time march on.
Yes, they do.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Actually, we got a few things from a few days ago that we have to straighten out.
Let's see. What show would that be? July 24th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're
little housekeeping here.
Pocahontas married John Rolfe. We should know that.
Oh, Rolfe?
Yeah, John Rolfe, of course.
That's a big miss on my part. Your part, too.
And J.K. Rowling is... I've had two different sources here.
Okay.
The Joanna, but the K stands for nothing, or Kathleen. I was right about that, but I've seen both. So I don't know if they...
So she took a page out of Harry S. Truman's book.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And then Scout, her real name was Jean Louise Finch. Remember that? We were talking about Scout's real name.
Scout?
Because you were going to name your daughter Scout.
I lobbied for Scout. I lobbied for Portia. I, of course, lost.
Now, here's one I didn't know. Jem, the brother, was Jeremy Atticus Finch, named, of course, for his father.
I did not know he was named for his dad.
And then Dill.
What was little Truman Capote boy?
Yeah, Dill. His real name was Charles Baker Harris. And they called him Dill because he smelled like pickles, apparently. Truman Capote looks like a kid that probably would smell like
pickles, and I do think Truman Capote would have smelled like pickles.
And you were right; it was Gustav Eiffel. I think that was the first name.
Okay, yeah.
I was right; it was Eunice Gayson, was the Bond girl that died, the first Bond girl.
The 1954 BBC.
No, that was Linda Christian.
That's what we were talking about.
But the first technical Bond girl was, you know. From Dr. No.
Yes.
And from Russia with Love.
Yes.
Sylvia Trench was her name.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, right. Eunice Gayson. She died a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
What have I got Mama Dracula for? Oh, that horrible Louise Fletcher movie I wanted to.
So Nurse Ratched.
Yeah.
From our July 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Academy Awards curse.
She got that Academy Award and then, you know, goes on to schlock like that.
Yep. Mama Dracula.
Mama Dracula.
Yeah. And I've seen it. I think it's on YouTube if you can stand it. Yeah. It's awful.
Sounds like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 type of film.
Got the potential. Sure does.
All right.
Yeah. I guess she was great in it, but I don't know how good you can, how much. I don't know how high above your material you can rise.
Here we go with the events of July 29th. Buckle up, folks. 11:48.
Well, I got, wait a minute.
You're way ahead of me.
238. 238 BC.
What did the Romans do on this date?
No, actually, not BC. It's... CE,
yes, Common Era.
Yeah, this, of course, anybody who listens to this show knows that 238 was the year of the six emperors.
Oh, I see.
And,
four, but it's six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Year of the four emperors was 68 CE.
And that would be Nero?
No.
No?
Let's see. Year of the four emperors were Galba, Otho, Vitellius, and Vespasian. That was a year after they killed Nero. This is the year
killed.
Of the six emperors.
Oof,
and,
what a year.
238, and two of them bit it today. Balbinius and Pupinius. Pupinius. So I don't know if you...
I can't respect either emperor with a name like that.
Well, they were like co-emperors, and they both got killed by Pupinius, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, making the way for Gordian III. So he was all of 13 years old.
Oh, good.
It's good to be 13-year-old emperor.
Oh.
So anyway, this was the year that they were assassinated.
Can you imagine coming into
Praetorian
your manhood
guard. Oh, I'd love
as
an
emperor.
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
the nearest thing
wonder Caligula went nuts.
Yeah, I think Justin Bieber would probably be as close as we get. Huh? Was he emperor?
Was he driving his chariot recklessly on the 405?
Better than emperor, if you ask me. Man, that lucky kid.
Stay off the roads.
Whatever happened to him? Is he still popular? Anybody still listening?
I don't know. Who cares? I hate the kid.
Is he still on the cover of Tiger Beat?
Do they still have Tiger Beat?
Probably.
My favorite cover of Tiger Beat was the one of John Candy on the cover.
John Candy?
Yeah, they did the mock cover in stripes.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, that's funny, yeah.
That's my...
Scott Bio.
Because, yeah, I always assumed when I was growing up, you'd see that magazine, you'd be like...
Sean Cassidy.
It's Sean Cassidy or Scott Bio or Leif Garrett. And they just rotate the three of them.
Oh, yeah. Boy, those guys probably got... Oh, man, I don't want to think about what they got.
Well, they got gonorrhea, probably.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And that's easily disposed of.
All right, 1148. I take you to Damascus. Now, is Damascus in Syria in 1148?
I don't think there was a Syria. No,
they're in the Ottoman?
There's no Syria. We made
Where are
Churchill
they?
And yeah, the rest the of them
British
made Syria, Transjordan, et cetera.
Yeah, thanks for that crap.
Yeah, so after World War I, they just started drawing lines.
But anyway.
Willy-nilly.
The siege of Damascus ends on this date. This is the siege by the Crusaders. Well, it ends in a decisive defeat.
That whole crusade
for the Crusaders. And the second crusade is kaput.
Yeah, it was a poorly thought out. The Germans went one way. The French went another. The Germans stopped off to sack Constantinople, I think.
A little side trip.
Yeah.
Just a little, hey, while you guys go there, we're just going to go over here.
Another bunch of them went over to Portugal and attacked the Moors.
That's on the other side of the continent.
Well, they're making Portugal, the Holy Land of Portugal, safe from the Saracens. That was actually the Moors. They fought them. But what's interesting about it, Louis VII went down there, and I think Eleanor of Aquitaine went with him.
To Portugal?
Yeah.
Well,
to the Holy Land.
Oh,
they went the other way.
Okay. They went east.
I think she went topless, as I recall.
Did she?
Yeah. Yeah, she was cut quite a figure. And I think she found time to screw around with some of the Germans, too, which didn't do their marriage any good. Yeah. So she had 11 kids, I think. So
11?
Yeah. Not all. Well, Richard the Lionheart.
Yeah.
King John.
Okay.
The first Henry, who died at sea, I think. Who's the other? Geoffrey.
Geoffrey Tambor. Great.
Geoffrey Rush.
Oh, another good actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy that won the Academy Award and went to hell.
No, he's had good roles.
Nah, he's shit. I never did like him. He's an ugly. Oh, he's ugly. I like him. I like that.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah.
I like any movie star.
You might have a chance against him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I get a chick instead of him.
All
right. But it's Geoffrey that they gave Normandy to, I believe.
Uh huh.
Remember the movie and the play, Lion in Winter?
Yes.
Yeah, the three sons. Yeah.
Catherine Hepburn, 1968.
Academy Award winner.
Yes.
Yeah. Peter O'Toole. The second time he played Henry, by the way.
No kidding.
Yeah, he played him in Beckett. With Richard Burton, too.
Okay. Yep.
Same part.
Yep.
Anyway, they went along. They went along.
Why not?
She was married to Louis VII.
What else
she
got to do?
And then when I think he died or she got a divorce or whatever, then she married Henry II, first Plantagenet king.
Going on a crusade, I'd like to watch it from afar because to me it just seems like one big traveling circus that then ends in disaster.
Profit. That's all it was all about, you know.
Well, profit. No, they didn't profit. I'll tell you who profited. The Templars.
They profited.
They started to evolve our modern banking system.
Well, that's a tale for a different day.
Yes. 1565?
Before they were wiped out, of course.
Armand's going to tell you about a widow.
Oh, yeah.
She's a widow, but she's a queen. And she's a queen of the Scots.
Oh, that's
and on
right.
this day, she marries Henry Stuart, who's Lord Darnley, the Duke of Albany. Okay. Not Albany, New York.
Oh, she was married to... Now, her first husband was another Frenchman. I think it was one of the Francises. He died. He was a young guy. He died. So she marries Lord Darnley, who was... He was a little... I don't know. He was a little... Had some vacancy in the scrotum, apparently. I don't know. I think he was one of our LGBT friends.
No. Wait. You don't know that. Maybe he was just shooting blanks.
Well, no, because he had a kid. This James VI of Scotland and James I of England.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. Mary Queen of Scots? Yeah, that's her son.
Okay, good. Yeah. Now, is this the start of the House of Stuart when she mm-hmm. marries? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, House of Stuart. Now, they blowed him up real good.
Oh, they did.
Kirkofield, the castle. Although they've now there was some debate on that because apparently they didn't find any signs of him, the explosion killing him. So they thought maybe he and his bodyguard or whoever was with him
sure.
had been choked to death, had been strangled.
Yeah.
But then they decided, no, the concussion probably killed him. You know, like during World War I, a lot of times they'd find they'd go down in a trench or they'd go on a dugout and they'd find everybody was just sitting there.
Yeah.
As in normal life, and then no injuries.
But they're dead.
The concussion killed them, yeah.
Well, the injuries are there. They're just internal.
Yeah, right. Nothing. Well, yeah, this wasn't exactly.
Because when you.
Yeah, this wasn't CSI or anything.
When you get hit by a wave.
16th century.
You're getting hit by air that's being compressed to the density of steel.
Yeah.
So imagine just getting hit by a big steel pillar.
Well, I don't think Mary Queen of Scots ever did forgive Lord Darnley because he was one of the bunch that killed our friend and her secretary. In quotes, air
secretary.
Quotes, David Rizzio, the champ, 56 stab wounds.
Mr. Rizzio.
Yep, 56 times.
Well, it's just one short of DiMaggio's record,
boy.
Too.
Can
you imagine?
Well, they took a day off, and then he started, and then they stabbed him 17
more times.
So he did equal the record.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if anybody's going to get that joke.
All right. 1588. Now, this is a big one. Armand has a ranking of the all-time great admirals, and it comes into play here.
This one's number one.
We go to the Anglo-Spanish War, the Battle of the Gravelines.
Well, Gravelon.
Whatever.
Gravelon.
Gravelon.
Well, yeah.
Say it like an English.
Gravelon.
Gravelines. There you go. That's
like
how it's
Granite
spelled.
City guy.
That's how it's
Gravelinis.
Spelled. That's how I'm going to say it. The English naval forces under Charles Howard and...
Yeah, Charles Howard actually led it, yeah.
And...
Sir Francis Drake.
Sir Francis Drake.
I was wondering if he was in the Pelican.
They defeat the Spanish Armada off the coast of Gravelon.
Well, things were touch and go until they launched these fire ships into the Spanish fleet. They're all weighing at anchor. And these fire ships just set the Spanish into a panic. And they slipped their cables, as they say, and... That's when the divine wind hit and sent them all over. You know, we've gone over this, the Armada, et cetera. So
the divine wind.
Well, that's the Japanese would have called it that.
Yeah,
kamikaze. Actually, there were four attacks of our armadas. Did you know that? This is only the first. They tried several more times, and the English sent an armada against Spain too, and that didn't work out very well either.
How did they have the resources to just keep building these ships of the line?
Well, the New World, all the gold.
God.
They're all kinds of gold.
That's look, 1588, that's
nation
a
in
hell
world.
Of a lot of timber. That's a hell of a lot of craftsmen to be building ships.
Yeah. Well, we talked about, you know, Drake won the war when he singed the singed Philip's beard mm-hmm. in Cadiz.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he burned all the barrels. That was the problem. They didn't have any keep fresh water and food in, et cetera. That would really hurt.
Yeah, you're done.
So that didn't help.
Say hello to scurvy. No fresh water, no food.
And remember, they were playing bowls and the Spanish Armada was approaching. Still have time to finish the game.
Let's finish up.
Typical English sang-froid or aplomb.
Admiral, there's an Armada approaching.
He's still number one. Robert Blake is number two.
Okay.
And Lord Nelson's number three, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Okay. Does Drake have a column?
There's something to him.
Good.
I'm sure. Yeah,
there should be, right?
Yeah. There's all kinds of.
1818. We love science on this day in history. This is a big one. The French physicist Auguste Fresnel.
Fresnel. I don't think you pronounce the S, would you? Fresnel.
Fresnel submits a prize-winning accounting. It's a memoir entitled "Memoir on the Diffraction of Light." And this precisely accounts for the limited extent of how light spreads into shadows and thereby demolishing the oldest objection, which was an objection to the wave theory of light. Move science along here.
Well, I don't know why this is so significant, because it is a wave, but it's also a particle. It acts as a wave and a particle. That's why light is such an enigma. And nobody could figure it out for so many centuries.
So light is like Russia. It's an enigma wrapped in
a mystery. In an enigma wrapped
in a riddle. There you go.
Oh, no, I think it's a mystery in a riddle wrapped in an enigma.
Aha. I'll take it. 1836, this is the date that the inauguration of the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, France, was held.
Right.
Ever been to the top of that?
Never to the top?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can go to the top.
Yes, you can.
I've never been to that. I don't.
I got to ask my daughter if she went to the top.
It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. So we got that. We got them in the right order.
That's Russia, and that's
Churchill.
That's how light diffracts as well.
Yeah.
1848.
Well, actually, there's 12 streets that meet there. A little trivia on art.
Oh, there is 12.
It,
okay.
Commemorates Napoleon's victories. It's in the Place de la Charles de Gaulle.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got here? Champs-Élysées.
And they finished the Tour de France.
I think so.
Right there. Yeah.
The Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers underneath
uh-huh.
it. That's from World War One, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about it. I guess.
And Hitler wanted to build one in Germany that was like four times as big.
But this is based on the Arch of Titus
yes,
in Rome,
so which you can still see.
You want to guess how tall it is?
I think it's 250 feet-ish.
I don't think so. 50 meters. So I think it's 164
164?
Feet.
164? Okay.
Yeah, not quite.
Okay,
not,
a little off. Irish potato famine, 1848.
Yeah,
well,
this
is the Tipperary County revolt. Now, at this point, Tipperary is actually in the UK, the United Kingdom. And an unsuccessful nationalist revolt against British rule, put down by the police, just like 1968 in Chicago. This is what those fellas ran into.
It's a long, long way to Tipperary.
Those British may not have guns, but boy.
They'd have, listen, they didn't need them. The Irish weren't exactly at their best. They're all famished, you know. Kwashiorkor. Have you ever heard of that? Protein deficiency.
Oh.
Wasting disease.
Okay, yeah. Wasting disease.
Kwashiorkor. It's great. Is that a great term?
Makes a degree of sense.
You can't even play that a Scrabble word with that one.
You ever wondered how the scouting movement was founded?
Yeah.
Well, on this date in 1907, a gentleman by the name of Sir Robert Baden-Powell sets up the Brown Sea Island Scout Camp in Poole Harbor. Now, this is on the south coast of England. The camp runs for just 9 days, but this is regarded as the foundation of the scouting movement.
Well, this Baden-Powell, I don't think you're going to like him too much.
I had a feeling. Ulterior motives?
I don't know. They don't know about that. But he did extol the virtues of the male physique a lot.
A lot of naked swimming?
I don't know. If you looked on his computer, you might find some kiddie porn.
Luckily, in 1900-whatever, they didn't have computers.
True. I forgot about that.
He did
admire Mein Kampf. He was a big admirer of Hitler.
Oh, great.
Although,
did he go over there and establish the Hitler Youth?
Kind of did, but the Hitler Youth took the place of the Boy Scouts in Germany.
Oh.
Yeah, they had it, but that was
Is replaced. That where they got the brown shirts from?
I don't know about that, but I know the
because they already had them from the Scouts.
Did they use? I don't know if they used brown shirts.
They used a light brown.
They were blue. Weren't they blue shirts?
No, that's a Cub Scout.
Oh, I wasn't in either one.
Yeah, no, I was in Cub Scouts for a little bit. Now I have two cousins that went all the way through scouting. Eagle.
I was never into that stuff.
Yeah, but they lived out west where you could do all the fun stuff.
They'd
go mountain climbing, mountain biking, kayaking, all the cool stuff. We got to learn how to tie knots and crap.
Yeah.
And I was like done with it.
That
Not going after school. To
worthless.
Just awful.
Now, what do you think about what they're saying now that they have the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and there's no such thing as Boy and Girl Scouts, right? Haven't they integrated it?
I don't know.
I think they have.
They have?
Well, yeah, they let girls in.
If a girl wants to do it, let her do it. I mean, it's no big deal. I can't see a boy wanting to do, like, daisies or
Well, I'm just saying, why don't
like
you
that.
Have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? You can't because they're the same thing. Flouting every tenet of biology that I've ever learned.
Well, you're really stuck on that issue.
Not really, no, but it's just stupid.
All right. 1921. Hitler becomes a leader of the National Socialist German Workers' Party.
Probably about 50 of them at this time. There weren't that many in the, I don't think.
It's a small group at this time, but it's about to grow exponentially.
Before the beer hall putsch.
That's right. 1932 in D.C., Washington, D.C., the Bonus Army, the U.S. troops disperse the last of the Bonus Army, which is made up of World War One veterans.
Yeah, I think they might have even had a couple Spanish-American War guys in there, too. But yeah, they got a little this actually really didn't help Hoover much. Not that he was very popular to begin with, but this really hurt him, you know, because he sent in MacArthur, and we know what Ike said about it. I told that dumb son of a bitch, don't go down there, but he did anyway.
And he did.
Yeah, he did anyway. And he cleaned up the place, a couple of tanks on horseback, tear gas, you know, an emetic being something that makes people throw up. They use that gas. There was a lot of puking, and he just cleaned it all out. I believe there were like 17,000 protesters per se, and then they brought their families with them, so there were like 43,000 people there.
And, wow.
not many left after Douglas MacArthur went in there and cleaned it out. That was not good PR for Hoover.
No.
But I don't think it really hurt him that bad.
He was going to lose anyway.
Yeah. And then these guys wanted their pay. I mean, you know, they had the audacity to want pay. The government had given them IOUs, which we all know is
worthless.
Better than gold.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Would you rather have an ingot of gold or an IOU?
I'll take the ingot.
Would you? Okay. Well, I'll see. You have no faith in your government. That's a problem with you.
Yeah.
I worship our government.
Sure you do.
I want more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Armand's definitely more.
Yeah.
He's for more government.
Yes.
Scrooge Duck over here hoarding his own gold.
Well, what else was I going to say about this? Oh, ironically, there was another bonus army more or less a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like in 36. Roosevelt, he's a little different. He sends Eleanor down there to negotiate with him.
And they just all left.
Yeah, pretty much. He just talked them into getting the hell out of there. But he what he did was he started the Civilians Conservation Corps. So he just basically said, yeah, we'll pay you $1 a day. Go drain marshes and rake leaves and chop down trees and grow flowers and send the money back to mom and we'll give you $1 a day. And he basically made the Civilian Conservation Corps, which was...
They built some great state parks.
Which was a fascist, actually fascism. When we talk about Mussolini later... We'll get into that. But that's in fact, one guy said that. Hoover sent in MacArthur, FDR sent in Eleanor. Kind of difference in the way two presidents handle a situation, isn't it?
Yeah. One more before we do birthdays. 1948, the Olympic Games had been on hiatus due to World War II, and this is the day they resume. Now, the last time the Games had been held was in 1936, Summer Olympics in Berlin. But this one... goes to London, which had not been granted the games in 48 because of winning the war. They had already won the games of, I believe, 40 or 44.
I don't know. One of them, but yeah, I think
Tokyo
other
was 40.
One. Yeah.
Yes, and Tokyo got backed all the way up to 1964 before they got to host their summer games.
And, of course, they're going to get it again.
They're getting it.
And London already has it again.
And London has had it. And
now, I think London had it also in 1908. They were after St. Louis, weren't they?
St. Louis was 1904, which was a limited edition.
And they actually had the intercalary games in 1906, which I don't know. That wasn't London, was it? Was that Paris? What are the intercalary games? That's a good one. Because nobody wanted to come to St. Louis. You know, that's why they only, I don't know, like 12 countries or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1908 Olympics held in London.
So, yeah, they've had it three times.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the intercalary games. 1906. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
Yeah. Let's see.
Is this like the Goodwill Games?
Kind of their day, yeah. Battery's getting low, of course. Thank you, Samsung. 1906, Athens.
Oh. Well, they just had the games in 1896, so.
Is that right? 1906 games. Where the hell are they? Doesn't say.
It doesn't say. They just held the games.
Yeah.
Okay, good enough.
Wow.
All right, who was born on the July on the 29th of July? Armand, I started in 1805.
I guess it's Athens. It's got to be Athens.
What do you have?
What's that?
Birthdays.
Well, I'm Alexis de Tocqueville.
Yes.
Have you
ever read the de Tocqueville?
Not the whole thing, but I've got it on
big.
It's a lot of, but I've got it on my Kindle, and I check into it. I like this guy. He's a good frog.
This is Democracy in
America.
America,
yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, he basically said, "What a great country we are."
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd be rolling in his grave now because we're not so great anymore.
Oh, I thought you were on the...
No, we're making it great again.
No, we're not making it great again. We are not.
But Obama made it terrible.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
That's right. I don't like to take sides, But
Bush
didn't help either.
How do you feel about the $12 billion handout to the farmers?
I don't like it.
Yeah,
but what are you going to do? It's better than Hillary.
Oh, okay.
God,
anything's better than Hillary. Anything's better than Hillary.
Anything better than Hillary.
Anything's better.
In fact,
Jesus, Armand,
he's better than Hillary.
You're a broken
much
record.
Better.
You are
Jay
a
Hoffman
broken,
for president.
You are a broken record on
That's
that.
That's correct.
I'm glad the Russians interfered.
He always comes in at a strategic time.
Sure does. Right when you're about to say something stupid.
You'd rather have Hillary as president. Are you kidding me?
She'd be neutered by that Congress. She wouldn't be able to do crap.
Right.
Look, they already get welfare. Now they're getting another. This is a bailout. Because of a dumb economic policy.
I don't think it's that dumb, the economic policy, but I don't like the bailout. That's correct. But then again, you want to talk about.
Well, he put the screws to him.
Wait a minute. You want to talk about influencing election, and I don't blame them. But look at Mexico and China. They know what to. They know exactly where to put the tariffs to respond to Trump against the farmers, against the bourbon maker, and all the reds, the quote red state people. And that's what happens in a trade war. I don't
sure does
dispute that. The question we're going to find out the answer to is: can you win a trade war, and what does winning look like? So,
well, tell me what the cost of winning is going to be as well.
It's only $12 billion. Believe me, with a $20 trillion economy, $12 billion.
I get it as a percentage, but come on.
Well,
if this was reversed and Obama was,
I told you I'm against
it. Oh my God, Fox News would be they'd be apoplectic.
Yeah, but
Sean Hannity would have a baby with a bonnet.
But let's look at
no, let's not.
The reason is for the subsidy. Now.
No,
you and I both agree that China steals our intellectual property.
I would rather pay $2.75 for a gallon of milk than the actual price of a gallon of milk, which you and I both don't know.
I just bought $1.63 at Walmart. That's $1.68 if you get whole milk.
Yeah, yeah. I get 2%.
So one thing I buy.
I get 2%. A little more expensive.
That and TV dinners.
Yeah, well, good for you.
I think Subway sandwiches.
I said it's about $6. I think you
for
said
what?
The real cost of a gallon of milk without if you.
Well, I don't know about milk. This is the farmers. I think this is more like wheat and corn.
Yeah,
et cetera.
I understand that.
Well,
which affects all food prices. I'm happy. One thing.
Take away the subsidies for the damn ethanol. If you're going to do that,
that's
a hell of a lot more.
That's fine too. I think we produce way too much corn for no good reason.
Well, corn doesn't go in your car.
Well,
it's supposed to go in your gut or the four guts
it's supposed
of a cow.
To, but you know where corn goes? It goes to cows.
Well, it should. Well, there's certain corn that humans can't consume.
Yeah,
that's the one that goes to cows.
That's a lot of it. Like a whole lot of it.
Speaking of which,
now I'm moving on.
When I was in high school, I have a little anecdote here. When I was in high school on the debate team. We were talking about energy, I think. I don't remember what we talked. I don't know what the,
You were on a debate team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
That's where I learned this brilliant oratory.
I bet your teammates wanted to throw themselves
they hated
off
my
a bridge.
I got kicked off. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, everybody hated me. But so anyway, these guys had, we were talking about, I guess we were, somehow something came up about corn. And these guys had this plan. As you know, there's a you state the problem and your plan to if you're the affirmative, if you're the negative, resolved, et cetera. Anyway, these guys were killing everybody in the state of Illinois with this plan about doing something with corn, growing corn, et cetera. And nobody could beat these guys from Chicago. And I just remember that they lost in a tournament. And I said, well, who the hell beat that corn plan? Because that was just everybody thought it was unbeatable. Well, apparently some farm boy from around Springfield who probably couldn't debate, was just a total rank amateur, said, wait a minute, the corn they're talking about, you can't feed to humans. That corn goes to cows. Because they had all this evidence, and they had the wrong corn, and they beat it. And that was the end of that. That was the end of that plan.
I love it.
That was the end of their winning streak.
Look, if you've grown up rural,
understand
that you cannot go out into a cornfield, pluck an ear off a stalk.
And eat it. Right. Well, they apparently, in their plan, and I didn't know. I'm from Grandis. How the hell do I know?
Right. I get it.
I'll take them at their word. You can eat this corn. He goes, my daddy's a farmer. You can't eat that corn.
You can't eat it. You can chew it.
Them.
And you can digest it, but,
you need four stomachs.
You can swallow it.
Yeah.
But
you can't assimilate whatever's in it or whatever, but that's why you need four stomachs.
And we're going to introduce you to what the corn
Yeah.
looks like.
Yeah, there are repercussions.
Which was one of the biggest grade school thrills of all time whenever you could catch one.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Anyway, that was catch a corn. That was amusing. Yeah.
1869, Booth Tarkington. Good. Favorite work, Alice Penrod. Adams or the Magnificent Ambersons?
Penrod.
Okay.
I like Penrod.
Some of his works.
Funny guy.
Made into good early movies, though.
Well, Magnificent Ambersons. I'd like to see the actual version before they chopped it.
If Orson Welles could have had his cut all the way through.
Yeah.
Would it have been a better movie than Citizen Kane? That's the question I hear a lot of film critics.
You know, I'm not a
film
big fan
critics
of
kind of wonder.
My favorite Orson Welles is Touch of Evil,
yeah.
By far.
Yeah, I know.
I don't really like it. I mean, that they're okay.
But. I mean, but the film looks great. The cinematography,
yeah, right, right.
It looks
innovative.
The part.
Yes. Yeah, I give them that much. But I mean, for my money, How Green Was My Valley is a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
The one that won the Academy Award.
Well,
never,
I think,
you know,
I think it's
41.
It's probably got a better story, Armand.
Yeah, well, it's emotional. I mean,
it's emotional. It's about one family.
It. Yeah, it's great.
Well, The Magnificent Ambersons is about a family.
Well, this
it's about
that's 42. I'm talking right. About Citizen Kane.
I know.
42, Mrs. Miniver won.
Right.
I'm not sure if that was that much better than Magnificent Ambersons.
Okay. 1883, the date. Benito
yeah.
Mussolini is born, 27th Prime Minister of Italy.
Yes, that admirable Italian gentleman. Who did I just quote?
Probably Joe Kennedy or
FDR.
FDR, okay.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They really were big admirers of each other.
Yeah.
In fact, read the book, The Three New Deals: Hitler, Mussolini, and FDR.
Yeah.
Many similarities. For instance, Civilian Conservation Corps, which is basically a quasi-military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to wear uniforms, and they, you know, we're gonna get these boys into physical shape and all that. Well, it's paramilitary, is what it was.
Okay.
2 million of them. That's FDR. But he learned it from Benito, our boy here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't patronize me. You know it's true. What? I made that up. There's no evidence to back that up, of course.
You made it up.
Well, FDR was a fascist.
Yeah, okay. He
that's not necessarily a pejorative term.
You use it as one. You do.
Well, I'm against it, but I'm not saying he killed Jews and he was a Hitler. I'm just saying he believed in economically what the fascists believe. Would you at least go along with that
some
statement?
Some of it.
What do you mean some of it? All of it. What do you think NRA was? Fascism. The government tells you what you can make, how much you can charge for it, who you can hire, who you can fire, when you can work, the hours. What is that? That's fascism. That's what Mussolini came up with. Where do you think he got it? FDR didn't make that up. That's why they admired each other so much. Read John T. Flynn. Read any of those guys. But you won't. You'll just nod and
just again.
Nobody can see you nodding, by the way, on
FDR,
a podcast.
Just you know what a evil bastard he was.
No, I'm not gonna say that. All I have to say about FDR is,
yeah. 1905, Clara Bow.
Oh,
great
the
American
it girl.
Actress.
The it girl.
The it girl.
Kind of tragic. This now she was like for a while they're the highest paid actor or actress in Hollywood.
Wow.
She was making a ton. She made It, a movie called It, where she plays this office girl. And sees the boss's son and says, oh, Santa Claus, that's what I want for Christmas. And, like, there's a scene of her slicing her skirt with scissors and bobbing her hair. And she's like the flapper, the quintessential flapper from the 20s. And she was drinking and smoking and dancing to Charleston, having a great time. And this was, you know, this was the basically the impetus for a lot of these women. She was like the motivating factor, the archetype for the 1920s flapper. And she was getting like I think she still has a record for most fan mail in a week.
Wow.
Like 45,000 or something letters a week she's getting.
God's sake.
Yeah, I mean this gal was big. Now the rumors that she was you know she took on the whole USC football team including John Wayne and Ward Bond.
Not John Wayne.
Marion Morrison.
Marion Morrison.
And
thank
Ward
you.
Bond that's not true, although she did have quite a sexual appetite apparently. And that was kind of her undoing because a lot of wives brought suit against her. That was part of, you know, when talkies came and she had this thick Brooklyn accent, which wasn't necessarily bad because it kind of went with her character of this
right.
bad girl.
Yeah.
But she had a lot of lawsuits by, you know, what do they call that? Disaffection or whatever, alienation of affection or whatever
yeah.
the lawyers
yeah.
call it.
Yeah.
She was in Wings, the first Academy Award winner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was in Wings. She had some mental problems and then she got fat and kind of at, I think she retired at like the age of 28.
Yeah,
married a guy and moved away, but you know she didn't have a really great life. She died young.
Well, she died in 1965. She's only 60 years old.
Yeah, yeah, she didn't die, but she was for a while there. She was really something.
All right, 1923, Jim Marshall, not the great Minnesota Viking defender.
Not one of the Purple People Eaters.
Not one of the Purple People Eaters.
Can you name them?
Not the guy who picked up a fumble and ran the wrong way.
Yeah, wrong way Marshall.
Nope.
Who were the Purple People? Carl Eller.
Yes.
Jim Marshall.
Yes.
Alan Page.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other one?
I don't know.
Damn it.
I don't.
We always forget that guy. All right, I'll try. I don't want to look it up. Shit.
But this Jim Marshall did something far more important.
What?
Far more important. He revolutionized amplification.
Oh.
Because this is the founder of Marshall Amplification. If you've ever been to a concert, been in front of that stack of Marshalls where it blows your eyelashes straight back.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I give this guy a raspberry, too.
No, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, I don't like that.
He made modern rock and roll possible.
He has much to answer for.
Oh, what a brilliant.
I think we'll burn him in effigy.
He only passed away in 2012, by the way. Thank you, Jim Marshall.
Why do you include him?
Because
I like the next guy
it's
better.
It's important. Next guy, I have no idea why he ever became famous.
Yeah.
But he was born in 1933. Lou Albano.
What an athlete, huh?
Not.
Cuts a fine figure of a man.
Italian-American wrestler.
Yeah, but he had a certain charm.
A manager and an actor. He had about a good 15 minutes of fame in the 1980s.
Was that Cyndi Lauper?
Cyndi Lauper. But I never understood the rubber band hanging from his face.
Was that what that was?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I don't remember that. Do they have some kind of relationship?
I don't know.
I mean, as far as...
They got into the early WWE or WWF craze back then.
Okay. Captain Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just... I mean, he was a good caricature.
Yeah, I guess.
I think he took it a little more seriously than everyone else was taking it, perhaps.
What, is he one of those guys, if you call it fake, he'd...
No. He knew it was fake, but I think he thought a lot of his...
Who was that last... Purple People Eater, damn it.
You just keep thinking.
I'm going to rack my brain.
Here you go, 1936. This one will get Armand going. Elizabeth Dole, American lawyer, politician, 20th United States Secretary of Labor.
That gets me going.
The labor?
Yeah, the labor part. Okay. Get rid of that.
All right. 1938, Peter labor. Jennings, the anchor for ABC Nightly News
now,
for
what killed
many
him?
A year.
Cancer?
I think so.
Died young.
1953, a guy that I like.
Yeah,
if I don't know anything about the topic that he is directing, Ken Burns, the documentarian director.
I didn't like his Vietnam.
I didn't. Honestly, I tried to watch it. I didn't like it either.
Oh, really?
Nope. Did not. I give him a chance. I always give him a chance.
I'll go with the baseball wasn't bad, but that's for the dilettante, you know. Anybody wants to get the real lowdown listens to this show, not this glossed over
The baseball one, you would have had
version.
To have been a just – if you knew nothing about baseball, it's a good documentary. If you know the least bit about baseball, it's just a
got some nice footage.
A send-up to the New York baseball clubs.
What?
Because certainly
what
baseball
else has he
was
done?
Not played anywhere else.
So what else has he done? Civil War?
Jazz.
Jazz.
Now Jazz I've watched, and because I don't know a lot about it, it's a good primer.
Yeah, but that's something like you listen to, though. I mean, I don't need Ken Burns telling me.
Well, he plays plenty of it.
Well, I don't want to hear it from
him. He plays plenty of it, but I much rather prefer Scorsese's documentaries, like he did one on the blues.
Oh.
And I thought...
Were you sad?
Very informative. The stories on some of these blues guys are actually kind of sad.
I guess
man.
It was effective.
Really sad. 1953. Yeah, that's it. Now, the same day that Ken Burns is born.
I don't know this guy either.
Oh, well, that's because you are culturally illiterate.
You're telling me this guy's famous? Is it a guy? I don't even know it's a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I don't want to do him a disservice.
Let's see if I can get this to play.
Can't give me time to think about that fourth Purple People Eater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may need some.
Oh, boy, I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's thinking. This is Armand's thinking voice.
Yeah. Can you hear the wheels turning? The sprockets?
Yeah, I can't get it. Anyway, Geddy Lee, lead singer for one of the all-time great rock bands, Rush.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not bad.
Thank you.
Play Priest of the Syrinx, but it'll take 20 minutes for the intro.
Well, how about Tom Sawyer?
Yeah, I like that. I like 2112.
What about Limelight?
Well, how's that go? Do it in his voice.
Nobody can do it in Geddy Lee's voice.
Well, Farinelli could.
Okay.
The castrato.
1953, same date as Burns.
Who's this?
And Geddy Lee. Tim Gunn.
Who the hell's he?
American's fashion icon from Project Runway.
Oh, that.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a very Natalie Attired man.
Oh, very Natalie Attired. I had a character named Natalie Attired. Nobody got it.
That's a Bond girl
Dumb
name.
Dumb shit.
That's
yeah,
a Bond girl
I
name.
Know. Armand, it was tongue-in-cheek.
No, Tim Gunn, he always looks great, but he's got a very distinctive voice as well. You've seen him on a lot of commercials. You just don't realize that's Tim Gunn.
No, I'm sure I don't.
Yeah.
Since I don't know who he is.
1977, a great producer and a keyboard player and a drummer, Danger Mouse.
Who did he play for now?
Danger Mouse.
Oh, that's the name of the band?
No, that's him.
Oh, that's it?
Yes.
Oh, he's real good. I love his stuff.
Come on, Armand. It's going to be the third decade of the 20th century soon. And I can't get you past the culture of 1961.
You can't get me past the 70s because I'm still thinking of the Minnesota Vikings line.
You keep thinking.
Damn.
All right. Back to the events, 1950. This is a
look it up and give me his initials.
I will. The Korean War. After 4 days.
Is that a win or a tie? We were talking about that the other day. You want to call that a win? We said we're 10-1, so I guess that's a win.
We could call it
stripes.
10-1-1.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tie.
No Gun Ri Massacre.
It may go into overtime, but I think Trump got it. What do you think? How do you think that's going to turn out?
I have no idea. Neither does anyone else.
Well, of course not.
Two unpredictable elements.
I think he's chastened. I think he's okay.
Anyway, the No Gun Ri Massacre ends when the U.S. Army 7th Cavalry Regiment's withdrawn.
Yeah, they shot some refugees, I think, right? Isn't that what happened?
I read into this.
I never heard of it, really.
Apparently, what was going on were refugees would see the American troops, they would run towards them.
Okay.
American troops, apparently, although never, I don't think, conclusively proven, had been instructed to fire upon them. And you would say, okay, why are we firing on refugees? Well, because the North Koreans were embedding themselves in the refugees.
Same kind of thing that happened in Vietnam. You don't know who.
And they would run up with them, and then all of a sudden you'd have North Korean army on top of you.
Yeah.
And everybody's in trouble.
Well, it's like that massacre we were talking about in 1204 in southern France.
Yeah.
Another one of the crusades to save France from the Saracens.
Right.
Kill them all and God will know his own.
Yes. And it's just heartbreaking.
Well, it's not, I don't know if it's as bad as me lie, but.
I don't know either. It's bad, though.
Is Cali still alive? I don't think he died, did he?
I don't know.
William Cali?
1957, the International Atomic Energy Agency is established. How do you feel about that one? Okay, good. 1950, I thought you would. Ike, President Eisenhower, signs into law the National Aeronautics and Space Act.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Which creates the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, one of the great acronyms of all time.
Yeah, but that's not what it was called when he
NASA.
Made it. No, that's not what it was called, though, at first.
What
it
was it called
like NACA
first?
Or something?
I don't know.
No, the precursor, which I assume this is. Yeah, it was not called NASA initially.
Interesting.
Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, I'll tell you what it was called. I should know this, actually.
Did you know that NASA is required to share the technology developed with private industry?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the deal. I know they can't.
So that's.
Yeah, here it is. NACA.
NACA?
Well, now that's interesting. This is NASA then, because NACA was going to take a guess at what year that was formed. I'll give you what it stands for, National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. So you want to take a shot at when it was formed?
1915. Even earlier. Wow.
Dissolved in 1958. Okay. And then, okay, so there you go. I guess this is NASA then. But that was a precursor. This to me, I don't know, if you want to spend money, I guess. But I think now.
But
I
here's
think,
the thing, Armand.
Yeah.
Do you like the GPS capabilities? Do you like? There's a lot of things that have filtered down out of NASA.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'll go along with this one.
They don't have anything to do with space except for, you know, it was developed because of space travel.
But what I don't like is we don't travel in space anymore, unfortunately.
But that's not really the point. The point is by going to the moon, by you know, launching satellites and everything, is you develop these technologies.
That's correct.
That we
in the 60s and 70s. I don't think we do it anymore. What have they developed lately?
I would like to know.
Nothing.
I would like to know, yes.
Because they're concentrating on global warming and how the Muslims helped us. Well, that's what they do.
Boy, can you sidetrack any conversation?
I'm not sidetracking it.
What do the Muslims do now? What are they doing now?
Well, that's what NASA's supposed to be telling us.
What the Muslims
The Muslim
are doing.
Contribution to astronomy. Let's concentrate on that. So they're not doing their job. What we would consider their job.
Get us to Mars.
I don't even go to Mars. Send something to Europa and see what the hell's in the water.
Get us to one of those Jovian satellites.
Yeah. Or to the Saturn.
Or find out if the warp thing really can work. Let's get to one of these exoplanets and see what the hell's going on.
Kelly, he got married.
All right.
Penny.
1965, 101st Airborne. The paratroopers arrive in Vietnam, landing at Cam Ranh Bay.
Yeah, this
4,000 members of the 101st. You know what their nickname is?
What, the Screaming Eagles?
Screaming Eagles.
Yeah, of course.
Stationed down at Fort Campbell, right there on the Kentucky-Tennessee border off of Interstate 24. Go see the 101st Airborne. It's a hell of a thing, dude.
Well, I'm pretty tough guys, I'd imagine.
What's the other famous airborne?
The 82nd.
There you go.
Was that Benning? That's Benning, isn't it?
That's where the Rangers are, but I don't know if the 82nd
Fort Benning,
Airborne
I believe,
is there. Why do I want to say Fort Bragg?
Gary Larson, son of a bitch. I'm going to look it up. Gary Larson. I should know that from that cartoon I always
say. Yeah, because you hate the cartoon.
I hate it.
1976. Boy, this is one maybe Surreal Talk should do someday. Surreal Talk, folks, another great podcast here at lineupmedia.fm. New York City is the site. David Berkowitz is the man. Now, if you're young, you're not going to know who that is. But this guy had an ability to really communicate, except he had to be a dog. Then he could communicate with you.
But the dog's name?
Oh, God.
Harvey.
Harvey from the because you know it from the movie.
Right. Yeah, from the Big Rabbit, the 6 foot
rabbit.
From
the Big Rabbit movie.
Yeah, his neighbor's dog, Harvey told him to do it.
Harvey told him to do it.
He's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, Berkowitz is still kicking.
Yeah,
he's still in prison.
Yeah, he's still around.
Always will be. But Berkowitz, a.k.a. Son of Sam, kills one person and seriously wounds another in the first of his series of attacks.
How many? I think like seven or eight.
I think seven.
Not a whole. I was just watching the other day.
The blackout in New York City.
In Cold Blood with Robert Blake.
Yeah.
Not Admiral Robert Blake.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And the other guy, Scott Wilson.
Okay.
It's a pretty good movie.
It is. It's a...
I think it's probably the last, they say it might have been the last major movie to be released in black and white, except for like Schindler's List.
Sure, sure,
and,
sure.
Yeah, but that
where
was.
Where it wasn't a gimmick.
Yeah.
To
right,
release
that
it
was,
in black.
Because in 67 they made that movie.
Yeah, and there was. Yeah.
I thought it would be more documentary-like.
And it was.
It was. It was pretty good.
It was.
It's tough to watch. They kill that poor family, man. That's pretty rough.
Clutters?
The Clutters, yeah.
Oof. Humboldt, Kansas?
Yeah. Yep.
Humboldt, Kansas. Yep.
Too bad, man.
1981, this is the date that an audience of 700 million watched the wedding of Charles.
I wasn't among them.
And late. Why not? Why? Too obstinate even then?
I don't like them.
It was a hell of a spectacle. But Charles and Princess Lady Diana, then Princess Diana. Now, people always think they got married at Westminster.
No, St. Paul's.
They got married at St. Paul's.
Yeah.
Yep. 1987, Margaret Thatcher. Prime Minister, of course, of the UK, and Francois Mitterrand signed the agreement. Not a bad agreement here, Armand. I love stuff like this.
Uh-oh.
They signed the agreement to build the tunnel.
If it's good enough to do, let the private industry do it. You don't have to have two countries do it. That's my opinion.
This was a massive undertaking.
Yeah, yeah. And we got Tang out of it, so it's worth doing, right?
No.
What else?
And
what
private
GPS?
Private industries did. They got all, look at the contractors that got hired to do this.
That's correct. That's the seen. Now, what's the unseen? Read your Bastiat. Yeah, build that bridge because you can employ all these people. It's so good. What's the downside? How could there be a downside? Spend more money. Right? Have you read your Bastiat? Right? The myth, the broken glass myth. There's the seen and the unseen.
I get it.
You get it? Yeah. So what?
In your world, nothing would ever be built then.
Well, really?
You know why? You know why?
Not by the government, no.
No, because no private contractor or group of is going to take the risk on something like this.
Well, then it's not worth doing, is it? Why is this so great?
Okay. No, you go. I tell you what. I'll zoom through the channel in under 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I'll
take the hovercraft.
You get on the hovercraft at Dover and get off at Calais.
That's right.
I'll be eating dinner in Paris.
Yeah, but it's already there now. If it was back in 1987, I would have told you, forget it.
Oh, now because
I can't use it.
Now because it exists, you want to use it.
Well, yeah. It's just the same old myth. We pay taxes and we want something back for them. So, you want to reap the benefits. Well, yeah, but I wouldn't want to be part of Social Security. But since I pay into it, I assume I get something. It's better than nothing. But it's better not to have it. That's all. You don't think this would have been done? Somebody would have come up with this?
No, not a project of this
scale. Let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to get to Mars first? The government or Elon Musk?
Oh, Elon's not getting anywhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Somebody of his ilk.
Yeah.
Not NASA, I'll tell you that.
Elon better worry about himself right now. I don't know if you've been following the news. I do. I love him.
Okay.
The guy's got some trouble right now. And this Tesla 3 is a disaster.
Yeah, he'll get it all ironed out. Okay. I don't really like the guy either. If it wasn't for government subsidies, he'd never get anywhere. But at least the guy's got some gumption.
No, he does.
Well,
his firm built a rocket that can go up and then can come down on a retro rocket and land the booster.
Right.
It's phenomenal. Well, I love it.
Well, he's not the only one. Gates and all those guys.
He ain't building the channel. I'm sorry.
What good does it? Well, I don't really care. It's not our money.
Oh, God.
What else do you want to do? Let's do something else. That's such a great project.
Yeah,
Why don't we build a tunnel under Gibraltar, too?
I want that hyperlink.
Okay.
I want that hyperlink.
You want the government to pay for it?
I don't care who pays for it.
I do.
Let's get it.
That's it. I do.
Okay.
That makes me a screwball. That makes me a nut.
No, I don't want the government
doing it.
I don't.
To say that, look at what a great thing we have here and all the jobs we created. There's the myth. The unseen and the seen. Now, if you just tell me, what the hell, let's just spend money, and it says it's so nice, it's so great to have, well, don't give me that job stuff, though, because we both know that a lot of these are boondoggles to create jobs. But for whatever job you create, the money has to be taken from the private sector, and you've lost a job, probably more than one, because we know the government is not efficient at anything it does, correct?
Like the government is out there.
Henry Hazlitt.
Is out there turning dirt. You're hiring contractors.
Yeah. So?
Which the private industry does as well.
Yeah. But they don't. The private industry has to make a profit. The government doesn't give a damn. And who gets all the contracts? Buddies of the federal government. Who do you think is going to get? Do you think the same people that are getting contracts under Trump are the ones that are getting contracts under Obama? Hell no. Right? It's who you know. Why don't we get Jay in here? He'll tell us about it. That's a myth, too. That's not true.
No, I'm not saying it's a myth.
That's what I'm saying. They don't care about cost.
You are living in an alternate reality of this.
I'm not
we
saying.
We would not get anything done.
That's ridiculous.
Sometimes you
got to
bite the bullet.
Government.
Somebody's got to pay.
Yeah,
we're all paying one way or another.
For the roads and for common defense. That's it. As stipulated by the Constitution. You want health care too, right? Everybody should have health care, right? Because that's a good thing.
Be nice to have a baseline.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else? Everybody
Be have nice
free
to have a baseline.
How about free universal living wage, like they're trying to do in Chicago?
Armin,
that's good too.
You would take away education.
From the government? Yes.
Yeah.
From the federal?
Yes.
The federal government.
Okay.
That's a state's issue. You got a problem with that?
Okay. So it's okay if the state
Sure.
pays teachers and builds schools.
I'm not for it, but yeah.
Okay, you're not it's for not, it. That's not, what I thought.
But all it's right. not in the Constitution. If the Constitution of Illinois wants to do that, they can do that. And if I don't like living in Illinois and I don't like their system, I can move somewhere else.
Okay. Move. 2005, astronomers announced the discovery of the dwarf planet Eris.
Which I always thought was the biggest dwarf planet, but I guess Pluto, now you're
now, I know.
Guess who discovered this? That brown guy that demoted Pluto.
Yeah.
Him and another guy, one of Archie Bunker's lawyers, Rabinowitz. That's how I remember it.
Rabinowitz?
Remember that? Remember when he's trying to find a lawyer and Mike's reading out of the yellow pages? If it was a Jew, he was thinking about it. If it's not, he's like, what's the next one? So he goes, Rabinowitz, Rabinowitz, and Rabinowitz. He goes, Rabinowitz, Rabinowitz. What was that last name? Rabinowitz, dummy.
Old meathead.
You go back where you came from and get me a Jew.
Oh.
That was a great episode. That was the one where he got hit in the, remember he had a car accident?
Yes.
Yeah, he was trying to get cash in on it.
But there yes.
There was a carload of nuns were witnesses.
Right, right. Yeah. That was a hard one for him.
Yeah, that hurt.
Who died on July 29th? Well,
Alexis de Tocqueville.
Yes.
Can you name some another famous person that died on his birthday? My favorite author?
Murray Rothbard?
Shakespeare.
Oh.
My favorite fiction author.
Okay.
And Murray Rothbard's up there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1805.
Right, yeah.
Wait a minute. That's when he was born. I think he had to die later, right? Doesn't that make sense? Anyway, he died on his birthday.
He did? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
1890? Vincent Van Gogh.
I got to hold on. 1833.
Okay.
William Wilberforce, who you should like.
Well, I like the name Wilberforce.
Well,
as the name goes, that's a fine name.
He was the abolitionist. He was the one that got actually just
was
died.
Was he in there with Elijah Lovejoy and Brown?
No, this guy's English.
Oh. Okay.
He fought for the end of slavery in England.
Good for
him. They didn't have to fight a civil war over it. Ended it. But ironically, they ended it right after he died. He died in 1833, and that's when they freed the slaves. I think that's when they freed all the slaves in the West End, you know, the whole empire. Because, you know, that was a different, the slaves in England, I think, they were freed earlier. But 1833, I believe, is when they were emancipated in the British Empire.
Empire. In the Commonwealth?
Yeah.
The Commonwealth. Okay.
1856, Robert Schumann. I don't know why you missed him. Mm. Pretty damn good composer.
Mm.
I recommend his piano concerto.
Up there with Danger Mouse, huh?
I never heard of him.
And Geddy Lee.
Yeah, maybe not quite in that rarefied air. But anyway, when this guy wasn't busy throwing himself into the Rhine and having all kinds of mental problems, he kept hearing this A in his ear, you know, this imaginary note, A.
Yes.
Yeah, he was really going nuts. He was married to Clara Wieck, Clara Schumann. Brahms was also in love with her.
Ooh.
And he stayed with them and took care of their, like, 17 kids. I don't know how many kids they had. They had a bunch. All right, watch the movie. They made a movie about him with Paul Henri and... was it Katharine Hepburn might have played? I think she played Clara. She was a hell of a pianist herself.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. Okay. And anyway, Robert Schumann, he eventually went insane. They put him away and he died. And then Brahms took over, kind of, you know. I don't think he ever did consummate with Clara, but they were pretty good friends. I think Robert Walker played Brahms in that movie.
What year?
Wow, it must have been 40, I think it was after the war, 46.
Okay. Yeah.
Damn, I forgot the name of the movie was, I forgot the name of the movie too, something about the heart or something.
Now let me get to a big one, guy who really matters. 1890, Vincent Van Gogh.
I like Schumann better. I never was a big fan of this guy.
You didn't like Van Gogh?
Well, I don't like his paintings.
World renowned.
Yeah, I don't.
And Armand just, nah.
Which
nothing.
One do you like?
Oh. Where do you want me to start?
Well, which one's your favorite?
I would say, because I've seen it multiple times in person, that Iris's is my favorite.
Song of Love.
Song of Love.
1947.
Okay.
I was right. Here we go again. Now, I have no notes. You know this. MGM film starring Paul Henri as Schumann, Katharine Hepburn as Clara Wieck, Robert Walker as Johannes Brahms. And now, this is a good one. One of my favorite actors, Henry Daniell as Franz Liszt. How do you like that? Now, you know Henry Daniel. You know, he's the guy that fought Errol Flynn in the Seahawk. Lord Wolfingham.
Okay.
And he's a pretty good Professor Moriarty, too, against Basil Rathbone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Professor Moriarty.
I like a good Moriarty.
Anyway, Song of Love, 1947.
All right, now back to Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Irises, I've seen it multiple times. It's at the Getty. The Sunflowers at the National Gallery in London.
I like the movie, Lust for Life.
Yeah.
You know, apparently...
Kirk Douglas?
Yeah. Apparently, like, he's walking around Arles.
Uh-huh.
And these old timers thought that Vincent was back. The guys that remembered him,
no
actually.
No kidding.
Wow, he looks just like him.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, and Anthony Quinn won the Academy Award for playing Gauguin, Paul Gauguin.
Oh, that's right. I like I forget what the title of it is, but it's the, he just did a painting of his room when he was at the sanitarium.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one for a while, it was a record, was a Portrait of Dr. Cachet. Mm. His psychiatrist?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that sold for I don't know how many million.
It was big, yeah.
Here's a trivia question. What was the only painting that he sold during his lifetime?
Boy, and did he sell it to Theo?
Well, I think Theo brokered
it.
Yeah.
It wasn't Starry Night, was
no,
it?
No, no.
It was something really simple.
Red Vineyard.
Red Vineyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
400 francs.
Oof.
There you go. That was the only one he sold during his lifetime. That'll probably be me. All my scripts will sell after I'm dead.
Let's hope.
Yeah. I don't know how to take that.
Well,
you want me to die first?
A lot of us stand to benefit. It's a two-way, it's a double bonus for us. You're gone and we're making money.
Yeah, but you lose the taxes. Although, well, I'm worth $45 million, so you will get...
1974.
Don't tell anybody.
1974. Cass Elliot passes away.
Eating a ham sandwich.
She did not pass away eating a ham sandwich.
In fact, I think it's another one of those cardiac misadventures.
Yes, yes. Mama Cass Elliot, Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah. I don't know
what
who started
voice,
that. Though. But you
what
know she died
voice.
In the same room as Keith Moon?
That's weird.
Did you know that?
Nope.
I didn't know that.
That's weird.
And they're both 32 years old. Same hotel in, I think it was Paris? Some hotel room in
Why
was
is everybody kicking the bucket in Paris?
I think it's
Morrison.
I'm asking you. I don't remember, but I do remember. I thought it was in Paris she died.
Oof. Hell of a voice, man.
Yeah.
Hell of a voice.
Yeah, she was
she could have sang anything.
Now, was she always fat, or did she just get fat later? Was she ever thin?
I prefer that you don't say fat. I don't know. Was she ever thin? I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, some people aren't.
I just think she was a, you know, she's just big. Big person.
Raw bone. No, raw. Does raw bone mean?
Big boned.
Let's see. She performed 2 weeks in London.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this girl could sing in the phone book. Didn't realize she was only 32. Wow.
Of London. Yeah, it was London. London
okay.
Flat.
London Flat.
According to forensic pathologist Keith Simpson, death due to heart failure.
Yeah.
Drug screen, no drugs.
Yeah. Good.
Died at flat 12-9 Curzon Place.
Don't know where that is.
Shepherd Market, Mayfair, London.
Oh, well, nice district. Mayfair.
4 years later, on loan from singer-songwriter Harry Nilsson.
Yes.
4 years later, the Who's drummer Keith Moon died in the same room.
Damn.
Also age 32.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew they died. Yeah, Keith Moon died. Now, he had drugs. I don't know.
Yeah, yes. A lot of them.
What a nut that guy was.
Well, he's one of the reasons Townsend has a hearing deficiency to this day.
He's blowing things up around him
exactly.
A little bit.
1981. Now, you may not know this name,
folks. I got 1976.
What do you got? Oh,
I'm
sorry. I got it, too. 1976.
Oh, man, I love this guy.
The American gangster, Mickey Cohen.
Yeah, Christian gangster, even though he's a Jew.
Sleeps with the fishes on this date.
Ah, no, they're natural causes. He's driving around in that.
Still slept with the fishes.
No, you don't.
Or the worms.
Right. That's more like it.
He made it to natural causes, though.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, he was the king of L.A. for a while there.
Right.
He was, he worked with Oney Madden, did a little boxing. And then,
okay.
You know, remember Oney Madden was the guy that fixed all the fights.
Uh-huh. All right.
And he had a sports book. He ran the sports book in Chicago, at the Flamingo for Bugsy Siegel.
He ran the one at the original Flamingo
in Vegas. Right. Remember, he was played by Harvey Keitel in the movie.
That's right. Okay. Yep.
And he was obviously Jewish, but he turned Christian.
Okay.
And I think somewhere there's still his Cadillac with all the armor on it and bomb proof and
the whole underside.
Yeah. He had a fortress. Well, so did Al Capone. And he had it like his house is a fortress, more or less like a Scarface's house with all the counter surveillance.
Counter surveillance.
One out of every six. That's a penis. Remember that? I don't care. Make me sleep good at night. That's all I care about. One out of six of our adjusted gross. That's not peanuts.
It's not peanuts.
Stephen Bauer. Whatever happened to him? Does he still act?
Tony Montana was right.
No, I'm talking about Manolo.
Manolo. Oh, does he still act?
Shoot that piece of shit.
I haven't seen him in anything for a bit.
Robert Loggia died.
Oh, right? What a great one he was. I know you hate Big, but man, that was a good turn.
I give you $10 million. Tell me, I got it safe in Spain. Anyway, so his bodyguard was our friend Johnny Stampinato.
Yep.
Remember?
And Johnny Stampinato.
Now, he slept with the fishes with a knife in his belly from Cheryl, Lana Turner's daughter, Cheryl. We've gone over that episode.
Yep.
As depicted in L.A. Confidential, remember?
Yeah, it
came
that's
up there
right.
That, just because you're a whore that looks like Lana Turner.
That is Lana Turner. What a great scene that is. Oh, what a great scene that is.
Apparently old Mickey actually drove an ice cream truck around late in his later years.
Good.
Served the kiddies.
Why not?
Yeah. So, interesting guy.
Another interesting guy. You may not know this name, again,
folks. I don't.
But I want you to watch, I think it's called the Kings of Flatbush, Lords of Flatbush,
yeah.
It's a documentary about the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Okay.
This is the urban planner for the city of New York, Robert Moses, who basically, this is the man who made it impossible for Walter O'Malley to build a new ballpark for the Dodgers.
What kind of zoning?
He gave them basically one option, next to the airport in Queens. That's what he
get. Well, how did he get away with this? Urban planner I hate his guts.
Anything that went on in New York, you had to go through this guy. So he had as much or more juice than the mayors did.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. How did he acquire
it? I don't know. It would be a great – but you talk about, you know, they designed the parkways and things like that. Yeah. But again, the reason modern New York looks like it does today and is laid out like it is today is this guy's responsibility.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's born in 1888, so this had to be in where do you get all this power? How do you get all this drag?
Somewhere around the 40s,
after Tammany Hall.
Because by the 50s, it was his say.
This sounds like government putting its paw into
totally
things.
Totally, right, this one totally.
There you
is.
Go.
Because this not only is responsible for the Dodgers leaving, he's really responsible for the Giants leaving as well.
Well, I assume he's responsible for the Mets arriving, though, huh?
Well,
they're in Queens.
They were building. Yeah, he was going to have. Look, baseball was always going to have two teams in New York. I have long said it was a conspiracy. The Yankees were like, come on, we get these bums out of here. And they did. Be easy. And they did. What city has lost two teams in the same year ever? None.
Yeah.
It's If you watch this documentary, you go, holy smoke, Walter O'Malley always presumed the bad guy. I really believe that family and he made every effort to stay A, in Brooklyn, and B, in the New York area.
I don't know. Ask.
But the siren song of Los Angeles,
Ken Burns,
as compared to going to Queens.
Are they going to win the series now? They got, what's his name?
Machado?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be good. They're going to be good down the stretch, Armand. They're going to be good down the stretch.
Are they in first, even though?
Yeah,
right.
They're up there.
Because they weren't having a good year.
Well, no, they're having a mediocre year, and they've got it turned around.
All right.
Yeah, so Robert Moses reshaped America in a lot of ways. I think you'll find him fascinating. I think you'll also get really pissed off, which I'll enjoy.
I got 82 here.
Yes.
Harold Cicada.
Does he only die every 17 years?
Not Cicada.
Oh.
He has a rhythm, though.
No. you didn't see that one coming, did you?
Cicada. You know this guy. Tell me you know this guy.
I don't.
All right, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
He burned his hands in his most famous part he played. He had severe burns on his hand and didn't let go of the prop until the director said cut.
Ugh.
All right. It was a James Bond movie. Who got fried in a James Bond movie?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Blofeld?
No. Odd Job.
Oh, Odd Job.
The guy's a Korean wrestler. Harold Sakata. Actually, I didn't know he was a silver medalist in weightlifting.
Well, Odd Job had a cool hat. He had that hat, though, boy.
Yeah, there was something about that. Somebody else was supposed to play that part and wanted to wrestle him for it. Yeah. Who the hell was that? I remember reading that. Who the hell was it?
Oh, that's good.
They didn't have it, you know. Anyway, who was supposed to play Odd Job? Something to do with the hat screwed it up. He couldn't throw the hat as well or whatever. But anyway, you know that part where he's holding on to the...
Yes.
He burned his hands pretty bad.
Did he?
He wouldn't let go until...
Wow.
Well, now I got to figure out who directed that movie.
Really method.
Guy Hamilton?
Was this Dr. No?
Yeah. No. No. Goldfinger.
Goldfinger. 1983, Louis Bunuel.
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 Luis.
You say Bunuel?
Yeah. You've seen that movie. Was it Ancien Andalou? The one where they cut the eyeball in half.
Mm.
You never seen that?
I think
Salvador Dali helped him out with.
Oh, yeah, it's the surrealist film.
Yeah, it's a short. Dali helped out. It was stupid.
Of course, Dali.
But it's pretty wild. He cut the eye in half.
I cut an eye. We did that in biology class. I think it was a cow's eye. 1983, Raymond Massey. You like him?
He's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying He played Lincoln.
Oh, did he?
Okay. What else? He played John Brown. He was pretty good in Santa Fe Trail, remember?
Santa Fe
Trail. Yeah, and it's odd because he died on the same day as our next guy.
Yeah, same day as the, I love that he lists him, English military officer and actor, David Niven.
Well, he was an officer.
Yeah, he was. Boy, was David Niven cool. And he wasn't especially a cool-looking guy. But when he opened his mouth, it was pure class.
Yeah, he was good friends with Errol Flynn.
Oh, was he part of the FFF?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. They lived living in Cirrhosis by the Sea on Mulholland. So anyway, if you read he's got two biographies, actually. One's
Good.
Moon's a Balloon
and
Bring on the Empty Horses, which obviously is Michael Curtiz. He's talking about Charge of the Light Brigade with Errol Flynn. And Michael, that was one of his directions.
Curtiz directed that?
Yeah.
And this
Bring
is
on
before
the Empty Horses.
Casablanca?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
6 years before.
Yeah, 30s. Okay.
Anyway, you know, Curtiz, he spoke five languages, none of them well.
None of them well, yeah.
So that's how he said that. But David Niven was talking about how he was water skiing off Catalina or something. Errol Flynn's driving the boat.
Yeah.
And he falls, and Errol just leaves him out in the middle of the ocean. Shark chased him back. And he told Errol about it. He said, wow, I wish I'd seen that. That would have been great. So to get even with him, David Niven plays a joke on him. He says, listen, next week my aunt's coming from England with her niece. Now you keep your paws off her. And, you know, of course, Errol's like, oh, sure I will.
Yeah.
And so there's the beautiful women, right? The aunt and the niece. Well, they're actually two prostitutes he hired.
Yes.
One young and one older.
Yes.
And leaves theoretically ostensibly goes out with the aunt to shop or whatever, leaves the niece with Flynn.
Yeah.
And of course, he's hitting on her. They come back just as she's going down on Errol. And like the aunt's like outraged, Mr. Flynn. You know, I lost my head. I want some of that too, you know, and goes down on him too. And then
tells
him the other two hookers. So anyway, that was in the book.
So Errol, even when he lost, he won.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's good being Errol Flynn.
Yeah, it must have been.
Well, that's what Errol always said. You know, I said, listen, am I cheating on my wife if I'm just sitting in my, you know, reading the newspaper in my dressing room and some script girl comes in and drops my pants and goes down on me?
Yeah.
What can I do?
You are.
You know, come on. He's got a point there.
Not really.
He's not actively seeking it.
No, but he's not actively denying it either.
It's a philosophical issue.
Not really.
I don't know what Bastiat would have said about that.
Yeah.
The seen and the unseen.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be seen. It would definitely be seen. 2007,
The obscene and the unseen.
Tom Snyder passed away, the talk show host.
Well, you know he was going. He's always smoking cigarettes. And I liked him. I liked his show, though.
You know what? Everybody did. I've never met a person that really disliked Tom Snyder.
Well, I'll tell you,
Even younger kids, because look, Tom's, 40 years older than me? Yeah. 30.
They know him? People know Tom Snyder?
From my generation?
You think these kids are interns?
No, no clue.
Okay, I'm
no
just saying,
clue.
You got to be kidding.
You'd have to be born in the 70s to know who Tom Snyder was. But, you know, he could interview people, man.
He got some good people.
He could interview people. And
I wonder if Trump was ever on his show.
He probably was.
I would think.
And if you stayed up late at night, even past the late show.
Tomorrow show.
And you got to tomorrow.
Well, it was a tonight show and then tomorrow show,
well,
right?
They had today,
County,
tonight, and tomorrow. See how that worked out? Real cute.
In that order?
Well, if I started with, today. No, the order actually would have been, as the clock goes,
tomorrow,
today, tonight.
Yeah. And then, of course, the fortnight ago show. That didn't work out too well. It wasn't timely enough. All right.
They always seem to be two weeks behind.
Just like us. Although we're ahead of, if you know what I mean, we're ahead of our time.
The magic of live to tape. That'll do it for the events of July 29th. Don't forget, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. We are also on Instagram and on Twitter, history_podcast. For Armand Kachigian and our producer, Brian Crock, I'm Tony Hubert. And when July 30th rolls around, we will be here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.